Knowledge fire.
And Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy and Kansas. Stop it. Andy and Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan?
Jordan.
Have you ever been to a live reggae show?
Reggae.
Have you ever?
No.
No? Really?
I never? I have to say I don't like reggae at all.
At all?
No.
No Bob Marley?
No.
No fucking
nope.
Nothing? No Tosh?
Nope.
No nothing?
Nope. I respect that it's good music to some people. Some people
okay.
enjoy it. I
right.
do not because right. it is way too relaxed. I do not care.
It's relaxed.
I do not care for how chill it is.
You don't like the don't like the upbeat? You don't like any
Something
of that?
Something about it makes me really nervous.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I've always had a position that was kind of anti a lot of people I know and people around me.
Right.
Just like, reggae makes me like just kind of anxious.
Because of the people or because of the music?
Because the music's so laid back.
Right.
I was like, why aren't you worried about
naturally,
something?
Naturally, of course.
Like, I was having a good time.
Because I kind of thought that it would be the people around you or
I will grant that a number of the people I knew in college who were way too into reggae, I also did not trust.
Right.
But that was more of a larger personality issue than I can appreciate it. I'm not
sure.
impugning it as an art
sure.
form or
of
as
course.
A style of music.
Of course.
But for the way my head processes things, it's just too chill, man.
It could not make more sense that the chiller the music, the more anxious it makes you.
Yeah.
That is a perfect encapsulation of why we all love you, Dan.
Shouldn't you be worried about something, Bob Marley?
Damn it, Bob!
Every little
Do you
thing
know what's coming?
It's gonna be all right. No, it's not!
No, it is not.
Yep.
Sorry, Bob.
So this podcast where I do not process reggae well, but I do know a lot about Alex Jones.
And I don't know much about either.
So, Jordan, today we are doing a special episode Friday.
Absolutely.
It seemed required because of the events going on in the world. We had, there was the killing of Qassem Soleimani.
Yes.
And then on Tuesday night, on the 7th of January... Iran shot some missiles at targets in Iraq.
Sure.
And the world was in a pretty tense situation, but not knowing exactly what was going to happen. Was Trump going to retaliate?
Kill us all.
So I wanted to check back in because I thought it would be pretty important to cover the January 8th episode where Alex is responding to the night prior's
responding
rockets,
to the response.
The missiles.
Yeah.
But I knew that by Monday, probably something else is going to happen.
Of course.
And this is going to be sort of filtered and processed out of the news. So I felt like exactly the reason we leave these Fridays open in this way, this is exactly what it's for.
Yeah.
So, so today we got a little special Friday episode for you. Before we get down to business on this, I'm going to take a little moment to say thank you to the folks who make episodes like this possible. Weird.
All right, here we go. 2020.
And also, because this is a special episode that we're putting out off schedule, we're kind of on our day off.
Basically. In many ways.
We're going to be doing some additional shout outs at the end of the episode to try and help us get a little bit closer to current.
Absolutely. That sounds great.
So stick around for that if you care to.
Please do.
First, Jordan, today, though, we've got to say thank you to Richard. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Hey, thank you, Richard.
Hey, Richie.
Hey, come on now.
Next, Paul. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Paul.
Next, Amy. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Amy.
Thank you, Amy. Next, Mason. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Mason.
Next, Michael. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Michael.
Next, Jay Geis, I think. Very close to Jay Giles, who had a band who was obsessed with the centerfold.
Sure.
Anyway, Jay Geis, thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Jay Geis.
Come at me with reggae is way evil to me. And
then finally, I'd like to say thank you to a couple of people who donated on an elevated level. We appreciate that very much. So, Sean, and you are now a policy wonk, Sean, and Radaclue. Thank you so much. Yes.
Yes.
You're Sean. You're a technocrat. Thank you so much. And Radaclue. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
Crikey, mate, that's fantastic. Have yourself a brew.
How's your 401k doing, bro? All right, we got to go full tilt boogie on this, Watson, all right? Let's just get down to business. We ain't making that money off that heroin. Why are you pimp so good? My neck is freakishly large. I declare info war on you.
Thank you so much, Sean, and thank you so much, Radaclue.
Yes, thank you very much to the both of you.
If you're out there listening, you're thinking, hey, I enjoy the show. I'd like to support with these gents. You can do that by going to our website, knowledgefight.com, clicking the button that says support the show. We would appreciate it.
It'd be very helpful.
So, Jordan, I did not know what exactly I was going to encounter looking in on the 8th. Alex's coverage has been all over the place.
Sure.
It's been very bizarre.
Right.
It's sort of
Holocaust denial aside.
That certainly, Steve Pachenik came in, threw some bombs, absolutely. He had Alex being like, this is a bold move.
Yeah.
And then waffling around a little bit, and on the 7th, he was trying to blame Mike Pompeo for everything.
Sure, of course, yeah.
And so I didn't know what his angle was going to be after Iran had retaliated.
It's a bold move, I assume. That would have to be the response.
Sure. So on the 8th, Alex is on air right after Trump gave his speech, in his sort of
rambling, slurring.
Some have described it that way.
Dangerously uninformed way.
Yeah. So Alex discusses this speech at the beginning of the show, right at the opening.
The president just about 5 minutes ago completed a lengthy speech that went about 45 minutes where he attempted to de-escalate the situation with Iran. Huh. We'll be playing large excerpts of that speech today.
So Alex thinks it was a 40-minute speech. It
right.
wasn't.
How long was it?
It was like 10 minutes or so.
It was like 10 minutes?
Yeah, yeah. Trump like was late.
Okay.
You know, there was a delay of some sort.
Yeah,
Alex
yeah.
doesn't know anything about the situation. He just thinks it was a super long speech. So it's good to know he prepares.
Sure.
Before he gets on air at all. That's just a good indication of how much he gives a fuck about what's going on.
Now, admittedly, in the past 4 years, I have heard Trump speak for the longest concurrent length of time was 2.5 minutes, and that felt like 45.
I
will give him that.
Sure. It does. Time dilates a little bit.
It breaks down.
It's okay for you to not listen to that much of Trump because you're not a guy with an audience who screams about how great Trump is and how everybody should be on board with him, and he's bringing back America and all this.
That's true.
Alex has kind of an obligation to listen to him and be and sort of know what he's actually saying.
Sure.
Since he's cheerleading the guy.
Fair.
But oh well. Alex talking about this speech, he brings up something that Trump says in the speech that Alex, I don't think, should be in favor of. But he does seem to be, and I think it's a little bit weird.
And Trump called for NATO, said, hey, you get a lot of money, you're in Europe. You're a lot closer to this problem. You need to come in and you need to pay for it and you need to stabilize the Strait of Hormuz. And we shouldn't be there paying for it. We're energy independent in the United States.
So Alex is saying that it's a good thing for Trump to call for NATO to take care of the situation.
I thought we wanted to get rid of NATO.
I thought he did, too. He should be staunchly opposed to international bodies resolving these sorts of conflicts.
Yeah. That seems to make most sense.
By what authority should he believe that NATO has the right to intercede at all?
Well, the international community has a responsibility towards each and every one of us in order. Oh, wait. No, he doesn't believe that.
No,
does
he doesn't.
He? No, he's kind of against that.
These are sovereign countries. He should be completely opposed to the unelected International Board of Globalists coming in and meddling, but now because it's somehow extricates Trump from some nonsense, he's all in favor of it.
Yeah, doesn't the Bilderberg Group and the CFR and all of those people control the United Nations with
trilateral
the NATO and all of that shit?
Yeah, yeah.
So he's saying the Bilderberg Group should take over Iran.
I guess.
That's what he's saying.
Trump did call for NATO to get, quote, much more involved in the Middle East process. His angle is pretty much exactly the same as Alex's. Like, we're only interested in the Middle East because of energy-related concerns, and we don't really care too much now that we're supposedly energy independent. And that's some sick shit that gives a glimpse into how these people think.
That's saying the quiet part loud.
A little bit.
W couldn't even get away with being that obvious.
No. It's absolutely not a surprise to learn that this is the position Trump is taking. But Alex should probably think a little more about the optics here. He made a large part of his career by screaming about how Bush and his cronies were evil to carry out these wars in the Middle East for oil. Now he's totally fine with Trump basically saying, now that we don't need your oil, we don't really care what happens to you. I kind of see a whole lot of face saving going on here, and it's all pretty thin and full of shit. But honestly, it's probably the best thing to do. Like, I mean, in terms
of... Do you mean for Trump or
for
Alex?
Trump and Alex.
Yeah.
I mean, compared to the alternative or the two of them, like, rattling sabers or,
right,
God forbid, Trump militarily responding, I kind of prefer the idea of them just talking dumb shit.
Yeah.
Like, it might be the least damaging of the options that people like them are capable of.
Right. They're kind of acting right now like the guy who is like really grabbing his friends, going like, hold me back, dude. And they're like, you are fucking crazy, man. But
yeah.
They don't want to do anything.
Yeah. It whatever it is, it feels thin and blah.
Yeah.
So Alex likes what he perceives to be a joke that Trump made. And I don't know if Trump did make this joke.
Trump, let's make a deal. Our missiles are bigger than yours. He actually said that. But Trump knows how to dumb it down. I mean, he's really smart behind the scenes. That's hilarious. My missile's bigger than yours. It's like in Spaceballs. He goes, my Swartz is bigger than your Swartz.
I'm pretty sure that this is exactly the same sort of shit Trump was doing with Kim Jong-un. And we see how fruitful that was.
Yeah.
I don't know what to think here. Like, in the case of a very tense world situation, Alex seems thrilled that the president of his country is making dick jokes.
Yeah.
It's baffling that his analysis is taken serious by anyone.
Isn't that why we're all in the situation that we're in?
I guess so.
Because everybody wanted a president who made dick jokes.
Made some dick jokes. I got a big old dong.
I mean, could it get more fiddling as the world burns?
Yeah.
Just
making dick jokes while the world burns.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's my job, damn it.
Yeah. I read Trump's speech, and I don't think he was making a dick joke.
He was being serious?
I think he was just saying we have better missiles than Iran.
Yeah,
I really don't
sense.
Think there was a joke. I think it was more of a threat than anything else.
Yeah.
Also, Trump announced, quote, punishing economic sanctions that he was going to put in place, in addition to the sanctions that are already there. This will largely hurt the Iranian people, and Alex knows that. I know that he knows that because he's yelled about sanctions killing Iraqis many, many times in the past when doing so has helped him attack Madeleine Albright. Alex knows damn well what Trump is doing is engaging in economic warfare that'll tend to hurt and kill civilians in Iran, but he doesn't care. He'd rather focus on an imaginary dick joke.
I am really fucked up by that.
It's
economic sanctions thing, just because of the way that the world works, and I'm not some sort of expert, and I don't know, but it seems really obviously fucked up to me that everybody goes apeshit if Trump murders a guy, but everybody's like, well, it's the safe option if he imposes economic sanctions that are going to murder regular people.
Right.
Like, it fucks me up that's the case. Like,
well,
the guy's fighting.
Ugh, there's that distance that people can take. It's like the idea of the sanctions is to punish the people in power.
Yeah.
And if
it
did
doesn't.
Work that way, then maybe there'd be a stronger argument
right.
for it. But it doesn't seem like that's the way it works in practice.
Yeah.
So I think all Alex has done is read a Drudge headline about the speech, because that's the only thing he can really cite.
Well, I'd say DrudgeReport.com is the best up-to-the-minute global newspaper that's headlines accurately represent what Trump's speech was about 12 minutes long, but the buildup was 45 minutes of them with a live feed of the White House lectern or the
way to save it, buddy.
Winter White House show.
So in that clip, Alex reveals he has no idea how long Trump's speech was. At the top of the show, he said it was a 40-minute speech, and now he realizes it was much shorter. So he tries to save things by saying there was a half-hour static shot of the podium, which Alex was thrown off by, I guess. Is he implying that he watched the podium for 30 minutes and considered it a part of the speech?
Absolutely.
Or is this just a clear indication that he'd just seen these headlines on Drudge before he got on air and was making things up? Also, even though Alex is making a correction here, he's also making a new error. He's saying that Trump was speaking from the Winter White House, which is Mar-a-Lago, but Trump was at the White House. Alex should be ashamed of himself, calling one of Trump's properties the Winter White House. What would Thomas Jefferson think about something like that? What would they write in the Federalist Papers about an aristocrat ascending to the presidency and branding one of his properties as being equivalent to the seat of the U.S. government? I'd suspect they would not be too into it, and I would love to make up a quote, but I don't have it in me.
Dan, come on. Everybody knows that when they were writing those papers and then the Constitution and all that stuff, they were really just saying, nope, I got it. They fucking hate Trump. All of them, except for like Madison. He was weirdly into that shit. John Adams was weirdly into
Cox.
They were all about fucking monarchists. Some of those guys were fucked up.
Yeah, yeah. There were some crypto monarchists.
Yeah, but Jefferson would have been very against it.
I assume that anybody who you've never heard of before who gets cited by Oath Keepers like Tench Cox.
Yeah.
I bet he would be into it.
Yeah.
I bet those are the ones. The weirdos from the Revolutionary War.
Yeah, those guys. Oh, boy.
Yeah. So this has all been kind of prelude. This is all Alex responding to Trump's speech, and it's kind of an attempt to talk about news stuff, but it's not really what's important about this episode. Is as Alex gets into the second segment of his show, he launches into a profoundly Islamophobic rant for no reason. He dives into outright hatred that spirals out of control and will come back up later in the episode.
Naturally.
And leads me down a bit of a road.
Like that magma erupting from volcanoes.
There is some stuff that I think is interesting and worth noting here. But as this goes along, I ended up going down a couple of roads that will lead us to some very interesting information. But before we get there, I mean, we just got to hear Alex be a bigot.
And the left that's always telling us that America's bad and Christianity's bad and we oppress women, sycophantically worshiping something that basically puts garbage bags over women or beekeeper suits. It fundamentally scares me, pisses me off, and makes me revile it.
So you get a sense here that Alex is starting off this rant by saying, I am scared of Islam.
Yes.
I revile it.
Right.
I hate it. That is
mainly because of wardrobe choices.
That is a big part of it. Yeah. But I was wondering, like, why is he going off into this? Why is he starting this up? I understand that there is a conflict in the Middle East that is a hot button issue.
Sure.
But
he went to that pool supply store again, didn't he? You did not just point at me.
You're very close.
God damn it.
And, you know, I live in Austin. I went last night after I got off air at 9 o'clock and Greg Reese and others took over. And I pulled into a mom-and-pop hamburger place.
Unreal.
And there wasn't one group of Muslims in there. There were two groups on separate sides at a place I've been eating hamburgers since I was 5 years old. I used to drive down here with my parents when I was a kid, go with my grandfather to Dan's Hamburgers.
Not
over
me.
Off of Ben White and Manchaca. And it's not that I hate those people.
Yes, it is.
It's that anywhere Islam becomes 10% of the population, they begin pushing everyone else out.
Not true.
They begin conquering everyone.
Not true.
So Alex has a complete intolerance towards seeing Muslims in public. As you mentioned, we've heard him discussing anger at seeing Muslim women at a pool supply shop back in 2015.
Muslim children.
I think it was teens, maybe?
Yeah, teens.
I don't remember if he was very specific about the age of the people, but whatever the case, now we see that he hates to see Muslims at a hamburger place that he likes. He doesn't want to live in a world where groups he doesn't like get to exist in public spaces. It's just that simple with him. This 10% thing seems to track back to a book written by a missionary named Peter Hammond called Slavery, Terrorism, and Islam. The point of the book appears to be the countries need to keep their Muslim population under 2%, because if that number gets any higher, the Muslims start to act in predictable, disruptive ways. I read a breakdown of the book, and it's not even an idea worth engaging with, mostly because it makes no sense on its face. Hammond is arguing that there are various levels at which Muslim populations will begin acting differently. Like at 2%, they start to make street and prison gangs, or at 5%, they push for supermarkets to offer halal options. He then lists countries on each level, and it makes his point make no sense at all. In his breakdown, the U.S. is listed as having a 0.6% Muslim population, but we have a really big halal food market in this country.
No, we don't.
So shouldn't that not be happening yet?
You can't find them. What, you can't find them at Dan's Hamburgers, Dan.
But shouldn't that not be happening yet?
No.
Because that happens at 5%, according to his breakdown. This makes no sense.
If you tell me this was written in, like, the 1970s.
I don't know when it was written, but I don't think it was.
It wasn't long enough ago.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
it wasn't like, because it sounds to me like he's trying to be the Islamophobic Harry Seldon from Isaac Asimov's Foundation.
I'm not positive that this is where this idea originates.
Yeah.
But it's definitely something that's referenced on a lot of the Islamophobic blogs you can find that cover this 10% idea. They'll link back to his book as a source.
And I assume he has really quality sourcing and all of his numbers.
He has numbers.
Check out. They all, and if you follow up on him, I'm sure they all make sense.
Everything that he's saying, like these distinctions between the categories of 2%, 5%, 10%, it's all meaningless stuff. Because the bigger issue is that what Hammond is doing is taking a very, like, these very complicated situations in different countries and different regions, and he's boiling it down to a single variable that is, how many Muslims are there? It's the sort of argument that plays really well in, like, white nationalist and Christian identity extremist circles, but no serious person would even consider that theory as having, like, being worth a second thought. But you see here how Alex has accepted that as truth. It's just the reality to him that if your country goes to a 10% Muslim population, they're going to start taking over and putting in Sharia law. This is gross rhetoric. And the end result of this kind of thinking has to either lead to war, extermination, dislocation, or eugenics program. Alex isn't stupid enough not to realize that. He's just fine with those things being directed towards people he doesn't want to see when he's trying to get a hamburger.
I mean, yeah, sure. You can look directly at the interconnectedness of all of these different countries and their individual contexts and histories and all of that stuff and consider on a nuanced level what it is that it means and how it really applies to different spaces. Or, Dan, you could estimate how many Muslims there are in a place and make long and stupid pronouncements about it.
You could.
Which is easier.
Right. But the problem for Alex is that Islam is expansionist or something.
Sure, sure.
And he cites a reference for specific.
No. Oh, no. Islam's been expanding for over 1,000 years, and we almost lost Europe to it. Turkey
Fuck
used to
off.
Be the Holy Roman Empire's Eastern Empire. It got taken over. The men killed, the women put on slave ships, and sold all over the world. And so it's a group conquering people.
Does Alex not realize what he's saying here? Why does he think that Turkey was part of the Holy Roman Empire? And before you answer, let's focus on that word, empire.
I don't understand.
What was it before that, Alex?
Okay, so Turkey used to be part of the Holy Roman Empire, while still maintaining its status as a sovereign state, right? Which is good.
Should we take this all the way back to the days of Alexander the Great? Should we take this back to, like...
You know, there weren't any more worlds to conquer, and it turns out there were. So Alexander wasn't that great in the first place.
This is... Like, if this is your argument, if this is what it goes back to, you need to, like, stop.
Yes. Yeah. 250,000 years ago when the mitochondrial Eve emerged from whatever place she's coming from, that was when she was taken over by Islam.
And that's why feminism is evil.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck off.
It's
just fuck off.
Oh, these are such thin arguments. And like the thing, too, is like, okay, what we could do is we could go case by case. All of these places, let's trace it back to...
Love it. Love it.
But that
Where do we want to go?
That would literally take us all day.
Let's start between the Tigris and the Euphrates, Dan. Get there.
There was a part of me that was like looking at that dude's book about the 10% number.
Yeah.
And I was going to like, all right, let's go through each of these examples that he uses and show why there's more complexity here.
No.
Then I'm like... now I will just end up having to explain literally all of world history.
Yep,
and we can't do that.
We do not. we don't have time.
No. So, here we go, Alex. I don't even know how to describe this. This is just like beyond the pale kind of bullshit.
It's a group conquering people. And they're very arrogant on average. They're very full of themselves. And they think they have a right to rule me. Well, you don't have a right to rule me. Now, that said, I was against the wars going in the Middle East because they were adventurous and they were removing people that were a lot better than what the globalists were putting in, because the globalists were wanting to destabilize Islam, to break its borders, put radicals in, and then use it as a weapon against the West. So this is a very sophisticated problem we face. But it'd be like if I was, say, Jewish.
This is going to go well.
Germany was 1939 Germany, and I was in another country.
Here we
let's
go.
Let's say Paris, and I'm in a restaurant, and then there's a couple Nazis in there. I would be
sure.
I would argue it's not similar at all. And days before this, you had Steve Pachanik on denying the Holocaust. So calm down with this bullshit.
Yikes.
This is insane levels of...
just say you get afraid of people who don't look and act like you.
Right.
I don't even hear any of his words anymore.
He did at the beginning. He said, I'm scared of them.
Right. I mean, just say that that's why you're a racist. Don't justify it with this bullshit.
He's trying to justify it, and he's also trying to rationalize why him being afraid doesn't make him weak.
Yeah, no.
That's all that's going on.
You're a giant coward, and you're afraid of engaging with people who are different than you, so you go on this weird, wild nonsense, and you make up bullshit
right.
in order to justify the fact that you just want to be alone with white people.
Mm-hmm.
Just say that.
In a nation of them.
Yeah, Jesus.
So, but the thing is that Alex is recognizing some differences in the world, and that is that now he goes to a hamburger shop, and he sees Muslims there.
Yes.
Whereas in the past, he didn't.
I mean, at a McDonald's, it would be fine, but this is Dan's hamburger shop.
Again, not my hamburger shop.
It's Dan's hamburger
shop. I have nothing to do with Dan's hamburgers.
Okay.
It's the fact that I didn't used to see Muslims anywhere. If I go to, say, Barton Creek Mall, sometimes it'll be, it's 7 at night, hundreds of women in full burqas. I'll be sitting there in restaurants on a routine basis. I walk in, and I can't eat my dinner. I'm there with my daughters, and the Muslims are looking at my daughters because they're not wearing hijabs, and their women have full face mask on. They have to take the fork and eat under it. They're in Halloween costumes.
Well, fuck you.
And I don't like it.
Cool. You don't like it.
There you go.
Do you think that there's a possibility that Alex is so singularly focused and bigoted towards Muslims now in a way that he wasn't before? So now he notices them more in public than he did before. Do you think it's possible that maybe there are more Muslims around? Maybe that's possible. But maybe they didn't anger him in the same way 10 years ago.
How many mattress stores there were until I needed a mattress. And then I was like, holy cow, there are mattress stores everywhere around here. But when I got to the mattress store, I don't even know about mattresses anymore.
Even better example, I didn't notice how many mattress stores there were until someone made a joke around me about how many mattress stores they were. And then I started noticing them
everywhere.
All over the
They're
place.
They're everywhere.
Alex is hanging around with a bunch of goddamn aggressively Islamophobic people now. He's certainly gone much farther down that path than he was 10 years ago. So now, of course, every single time he sees a Muslim, it's a threat to him.
Yeah.
Whereas before it wasn't. This is not good thinking on his part.
No.
So,
and the thing that bums me out is that maybe there's no better example or like representation of a culture assimilating into America than going and hanging out at a fucking mall.
We'll get back to that
like,
here in a second.
Like, that's America's shittiest export. And if you're there, you're in, man.
That's an important thought. And we'll get back to that here in a second once Alex talks some
more shit.
Right.
Okay, great.
This is just, I mean, it's, I can't really introduce these clips in any other way than just saying
Alex
like,
is a white nationalist, the next clip.
Preemptive, like just harsh condemnation, full stop. Here's what Alex has to say.
We don't wear Halloween costumes in America unless it's Halloween. We don't make women wear bags over their heads. And then the left sycophantically loving it and promoting it and coddling it and making sure little girls wear full face masks in school and the little girls take them off and the school reports them to their parents and they get beaten.
What about That's nuns? Sick. How does he feel about nuns?
Sick. They're sick, evil, filth. And pedophilia is rampant in Islam.
Oh, so shit.
Here's the thing. It's like somebody feeding me poison. I'm throwing it up. So that's where I stand on this, is that the real threat is the open borders. And Trump's been trying to shut the massive Islamic surge of this country that Obama started down. And that's why I support Trump. Go back to their own Islamic countries where they live in the Stone Ages and murder your women and do whatever you want. Just stay the hell out of my country.
It's important to remember that what sparked this rant is Alex talking about seeing two groups of people he assumed were Muslims at a hamburger place the night before. When he's talking about how these people need to go back to their countries, and more important to Alex, stay out of his country, he's not talking about anyone who's guilty of the sort of behaviors he's describing, like killing women or pedophilia. This is the response that he has to people he assumes are Muslims being in a restaurant. This is a deep level of bigotry. And I want to say, from my assessment, from everything that I know from listening to so much Alex, this is the real Alex Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Weak, scared, and hateful.
Yep.
He's unable to enjoy his food because he's around people who are members of a group he doesn't like. He's terrified to see people who don't look like him or live a different way than he does allowed to exist in society. It's a childish, seething rage, and he should be embarrassed by how transparently pathetic this is. But anyway,
it's I've always wondered, like, how is it that somebody could be in the 1950s and so furious that a black person just wants to eat at a restaurant?
Yeah, today? Weird.
How is that possible?
Like, ask
that
Alex.
Seems so crazy to me. And then it's 2019 and Alex is doing it, and I'm like, oh, it's just because you're a fucking coward. You're a fucking pathetic, weak, worthless human being.
I mean, one of those people in that civil rights era probably would have been able to make very similar arguments that Alex is making.
No, of course.
There is a
safety
issue.
Go back to Africa.
There's
a
safety issue with allowing...
They're touching our women. We don't do that to our women. They do it to
women. Once a society gets to 10% black...
We can't allow that to happen.
Exactly.
What if we get... Oh, man.
None of this stuff is new.
The thing I do think that he doesn't realize is that somebody is feeding him poison and he is spitting it back up at us, but...
He's feeding it to himself.
Exactly. Well, his friends are feeding him Islamophobic
and then
bullshit.
You add in his supplements.
Yeah.
Poison all over the place. So when Alex gets back from that break that he was just going out to, I think he recognizes I went a little bit hard there. That was a little bit of a rant.
Yeah.
And so he tries to address it.
I'm your racist uncle at Thanksgiving.
He makes it a little worse by trying to address the fact that he just went on a Islamophobic rant.
All right, I needed to go to the beginning of Trump's speech that he just completed about 30 minutes ago in the last segment, but I went into a rant about the Islamification of the West and how the two things just are not compatible and how they're not...
They were at a mall!
...adopting our ways. They're trying to make us adopt their ways, and it's a fact.
I completely reject Alex's argument about these Muslims just making him mad because they aren't adopting whatever he thinks our ways are. And you're totally
right. They're eating
a
Dan's hamburger!
Exactly. That's the reason. Because when he gets the most mad at specific Muslims, it's generally a situation where he sees Muslims integrating.
Yeah.
He yells abstractly about Muslims and Islam in general quite a bit. But there's something different and more intense about these rants that he goes on when he sees like Muslim women at the pool supply shop or them at the hamburger store. This is the thing. Alex wants a holy war between Islam and Christianity. He wants a new crusade, but he knows that in the modern civilized world, he can't call for that.
No.
But what he can do is create constant narratives about Islam being incompatible with the West and paint the picture that they're already in a holy war against him. This is why Muslims in a pool supply shop or a hamburger stand completely fuck him up. It's because they're proof that Muslims are perfectly compatible with our way of life. When Alex sees Muslims engaging in the exact same behaviors as he himself is engaging in, it's a strong indication that coexistence is not only possible, but it's happening. And that's threatening to his belief in and desire for civilizational level conflict. Alex isn't really mad when he sees news of an Islamic extremist carrying out, like, let's say, a knife attack in the UK. That conforms.
That's what they are.
That conforms to his worldview.
Yeah.
It's not threatening to him. Because he also knows that he can use that. What infuriates him is things like this. Muslims getting a hamburger.
Yep.
He's a pathetic sack of shit.
Yep.
This is disgusting.
That is the heart of white nationalism, is railing against, oh, it's not possible for them to assimilate.
Right.
And then when they do, they're like, no! And that's it.
Yeah.
And that's how we get Trump.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The end.
Yeah. But Alex, he doesn't hate Muslims.
Sure. He just hates all non-whites. That would be racist for you to say that he hates Muslims.
I would beg to differ with his assessment, except for part of it. Like, the first part, I disagree with.
Sure.
Second part of his statement, completely agree with.
I don't hate Muslims.
Yes,
I fear them.
Yeah.
I fear being conquered.
Well, I don't agree with the last part, but I do agree that he's scared.
He is scared.
He's very scared.
Yeah.
But he also hates Muslims.
Oh, yeah.
But here's the thing. You know what's interesting? Muslims are really bad to Alex.
Right.
But there's some people who are worse. And I think that might be.
Is it us?
I think it might be
us. It's you and me?
Yeah.
Are we race traitors, Dan?
The ideology and the political Islam that's expansive is like cancer. But you know what? It's a lot better cancer than the left.
Hey.
It's pure Satanism. I'll say it. Islam is better than occultic leftism, which is just pure Satanism. And that's what Iran points at and goes, look, America's the great Satan. Well, if you're watching Hollywood over there from their culture, it is the great Satan.
Sure.
But that's not America.
I would suggest that when they talk about that stuff, they're not talking about movies. They're talking about foreign policy.
Yeah.
They're not as petty and stupid as someone like Alex, who just gets bogged down in cultural issues and little petty grievances about women in lead roles in movies and shit. That's not the thing that they're operating off of. It's what we have done to the Middle East in the past 20 years.
Sure.
And longer.
But have you seen Oblivion, Dan?
Right. So Alex is talking a bit about how Islam has an evil spirit, right? That's kind of
sure
something. You know, ideas have spirits. Places have spirits.
Oh, are we getting Plato all up in here, or what are we doing?
I'm not entirely sure. Okay. I don't think he's read it. But places have energies
sure
and spirits.
Sure,
so he gives the example that San Francisco, terrible spirit. There's a place where the spirit was pretty good to him.
Dan's Hamburgers.
Nope.
Oh.
But San Francisco has a hellish energy. L.A. has a hellish energy. I've been around Hillary Clinton. She has a hellish energy. Janet Reno has a hellish energy. Places have an energy.
That's probably true.
I felt psychotically powerful at Stonehenge without, it wasn't placebo. I like all of a sudden walked up and was like, and the park ranger was a professor, and he goes, yeah, about 30% of people have that effect when they cross that line right there. It's electromagnetics coming out of the earth. what is it about this place? But so places have their own energy, but individuals have their own energy. And, you know, I could get seduced by the energy of Stonehenge.
This is just a ridiculous show.
I'm the professor of walking across imaginary lines.
I would love to have been there on that trip to Stonehenge.
Man, I kind of would too.
Yeah. Just watching Alex pretend to freak out.
I'm in Stonehenge.
I'm connected to my druidic roots.
It might be a calendar. I don't know.
So Alex talks a little bit more about how going to Stonehenge made him feel violent. And
okay, well then I think his belief system is not compatible with America's.
Might not be. But then he says some dumb shit that is not true.
I don't know. I had to get away from Stonehenge because, you know, that feeling was, wow, you know, I don't want to get away from this. And it did make me feel violent. That's why they took people there and killed the people. He was a human sacrifice site. So there's a
says
lot
who
going on in the world, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm not going to submit to the energy force of Islam.
Great. It should be pointed out that Stonehenge is in Wiltshire, England. It's not a site where experts believe human sacrifice was carried out.
No.
However, there is another similar site in Germany, which is closer to what Alex is talking about. An article in the Smithsonian includes this line, quote, It shares similarities with its famed cousin in Britain, and its builders perform many of the same rituals, though they added a new twist, human sacrifice.
Hey.
The words new twist certainly should get the message across to people who study Stonehenge don't believe that it was used as a human sacrifice site. Even in the case of the German site, they only say that human sacrifice is, quote, a likely scenario, while pointing out that the trauma of the bodies found there could have alternative explanations, like inner group conflicts, that sort of thing, raids. There's one skeleton that was found around the year 2000 from Stonehenge that people have theorized could be the victim of sacrifice, but other believe that the evidence could point in plenty of other directions. And also, the person that the skeleton is of, they would have died in around 600 AD, which is way too late for Stonehenge. Given that this is like one of the only real pieces of evidence that tends towards the conclusion of human sacrifice taking place at Stonehenge, it would be pretty irresponsible to jump to the conclusion just from that without any supporting evidence. A lot of the beliefs that dumb people like Alex have about Stonehenge come from 17th century historians whose theories about Stonehenge being a druidic temple have been thoroughly debunked. But these ideas are really popular for a while. There was one stone there that was nicknamed the Slaughtering Stone because rainwater would pool in it and turn red. The imagination was that this is proof of long lingering blood, but it's really just the result of algae and iron.
Yeah, I was going to say that sounds more like iron.
They figured that out. But it was really popular, and it gets into people's imagination.
Of course, it's giant stones hanging around in a circle from the past. What are you talking about?
There's a whole lot of bullshit surrounding Stonehenge, and it appears that Alex believes all of it, to the point where he's able to whip himself into a frenzy just by being near it. And I should stress, whip himself into a frenzy.
No magic.
God forbid he ever goes to Israel.
He's a shape changer. Oh, he's going to have Messiah.
He's going to get Jerusalem syndrome, man. So bad. I'm certain he would go to Israel and declare himself the Messiah.
Absolutely. He already halfway has.
Yeah.
God, somebody GoFundMe to just get him out of here.
Mm-hmm. So there's these spirits and energies of certain things. Islam is bad. Christ is good.
Sure, sure.
I'm not going to submit to the energy force of Islam because it's creepy. It's oppressive when I'm around it. I don't like it. But the energy of Christ is pure and is clean and is good and is peaceful and is the quiet place of the Most High that Psalms talks about, and that's the place we want to go. So I'm glad that Trump's de-escalating, but a clash between the West and Islam's been set up, and we need to wall it off and hope that they can fix themselves and have a reformation. But it's not going to be bringing in all the Muslims and us conforming to them. I'm going to fight it, you're going to fight it, and Islam will not prevail against what's left of Christendom, and we're about to see the biggest revival we've ever seen, I believe. But I'm going to stop preaching.
Good. Stop preaching. Because this is not good. I mean, nothing he's saying makes any sense. Wall it off, fight. No. What are you talking about?
No.
But here's the problem. Alex is operating off like a really dumb assumption, and that is expressed in this clip.
I don't want to be an enemy of Islam, but I'm a Christian, and I'm not converting, and I know you want to conquer me, so stop it. I'm not in your country that you took from Christians and others a thousand years ago trying to make you do what I want. I'm defending myself, but I'm done. That said, I don't want these wars, and I think the listeners are in the same boat, but we're going to go over all of it.
I don't think Islam wants him. I think he's operating off a faulty assumption.
Are you saying nobody's actively recruiting Alex right now?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think that is just weird paranoia.
I don't think Islam has recruiters. Just going out, like, not army-based recruiters, like the guys you'd see in your high school lunchroom.
I don't know enough, but I have been to mosques before, and I have not felt they were trying to convert me per se.
No.
So I don't know how Alex is doing with his occupied Texas fortified compound. All the Muslims trying to get him.
Yeah, and in fact, if you've ever seen a morning prayer. The energy is really good.
Not according to Alex.
It's really good.
So he gets off this Islamophobic chunk here and starts talking about the night before and how the media was covering things. He plays what he thinks is a gotcha clip from, I believe, MSNBC.
Sure.
About the reporting of possible fatalities and deaths in the attack on the bases in Iraq. He thinks this is a gotcha, but it's not.
Now, and I want to play this clip because last night I'm up here and I noticed we started reporting because it was on MSNBC that, Iran is saying 20 dead, 30 dead, 18 dead. And I just said, listen, Iran's going to say that for their own domestic population. We're not hearing those reports. And sure enough, it turned out those were false reports, not our reports. We were just reporting what was being reported, which is normal, but just saying we don't believe this, and thank God it wasn't true. Let's play clip 12. MSNBC amplified fake news that Iranian attack had killed 30 U.S. soldiers. Here it is.
We're just getting reports now that a second wave of rocket attacks have been launched from Iran. The IRGC was saying that Ayatollah Khamenei, the supreme leader of this country, was in the control center coordinating these attacks. This bit I'm not sure about, but Iran state media is claiming that 30 U.S. soldiers have been killed in this attack. Now, this is not confirmed. This is just coming from Iranian media, but we have just
you should have left that part out.
Precipice, Chris. We have entered a very unpredictable time. We have to see what the response is going to be from the United States.
But we did not step over the precipice. Thank God.
That could mean any number of things. Stepping over the precipice does not mean something necessarily specific. You're right. You should have cut that part out because the guy is clearly saying that, hey, you know, take this with a grain of salt. This is what Iranian media is saying.
Yeah.
But we are not clear on this. It might not be true. So
that's called responsible reporting.
Alex is saying that MSNBC fucked this up and they're amplifying fake news, whereas he did not. And this is when I realized Alex probably did a live stream the night before.
And he almost certainly, absolutely platformed.
I thought I would check in and see. So now we're going to listen to a little bit of Alex's live stream.
There we go.
Here is Alex speculating that an all-out war is starting.
Sure.
And the planes reportedly were launched about an hour ago. And, I mean, obviously the Iranians know those are coming. I'm not giving out any secrets here like Geraldo Rivera in the middle of the second Iraq war giving out positions. But this is a big, bold move, and all hell is breaking loose. And, of course, there's going to be bombers and stuff launched from other areas, the ships, if this happens. But tonight is one where there's a very good chance all that war is going to break out. We pray that is not the case. But this source on Thursday, who we're going to call here in about 10 minutes and get on, said it's going kinetic. They're about to hit the Iranian leadership. And he says sleeper cells are activated, whole nine yards. He was just in Iraq. I'm going to leave it at that.
So Alex has a source that's telling him it's about to go kinetic.
Sleeper cells are activated.
All out war. Jesus. There's a good chance. We pray it's not going to happen, but good chance all out war is breaking out tonight.
Oh, so, it's a good thing.
Responsible reporting.
It's a good thing that he didn't amplify fake news from Iran state government.
From a source.
Yeah. His is really so solid reporting.
Alex is sitting in studio with Owen Schroyer, and Alex needs to go call this source to figure out what's going on.
Sure.
So Owen starts speculating about things.
The narrative is Soleimani killed. Some people think it's good. Some people think it's bad. Well,
good
if
work,
you're
Owen.
In Iran or Iraq, now you feel that you have to retaliate. You do. You strike U.S. bases in Iraq. I've read reports up to 20 or more dead U.S. citizens. And so now what? Well, now what does Trump have to do? I mean, looks like one option, folks. I mean, look, I don't see Trump not responding to this. And then you really cross your fingers and hope. I mean, I don't even want to say it, folks, but I mean, we know how open the border's been.
No,
really?
The border's been.
Really?
So you know what's going to happen.
Really?
The whole country of Iran is
going to
come in through Mexico.
Iran is going to come in through Mexico.
Yes.
Ah, man.
This is a good,
that was a good plan.
Good speculation.
Yeah, you
so
know.
So now, here's a little bit more. Here's where things get really interesting in the live stream from the night of the 7th. Alex is talking about this. You know, some people are saying that there's 20 dead. But he has a more important narrative that he wants to pitch, which is his way of making himself a major part of the story.
Now, we're going to go over all of this as it unfolds, but they're all over the news saying, look for counterstrikes, look for attacks. Reportedly, as you said, some say 15, some say 18, some say 20. We hope none, but we'll just type in, you know, U.S. troops killed, U.S. servicemen killed. We're not sure. But we're going to continue in there. I can go off air again and go search it myself. Pull all that up tonight as we're live. But I know this. As all this was about to break, we got a giant denial of service attack today that was definitely institutional. So the establishment, it's not Iran launching this, does not want us on air because they know we'll just try to figure out what's going on.
Hey, you know, we're victims in this too. You know, we're a big target. We're a huge target of this because we're going to tell the truth and the man doesn't want us to. So Alex is speculating about the deaths, but at the same time, he's not saying, you know, he is giving it a little bit of a, we don't know.
I guess, yeah.
Now, the larger speculation that's going on, irresponsible, but in the specific case of this,
right.
It's not, he's not
he's
as
He's doing
off.
Exactly what MSNBC is doing.
More or less. Well, I think MSNBC was much more concise about it.
Yes, that's true.
They were a little
but
bit.
But he was saying, they're reporting this, right. We hope it's not, which suggests you know that right. It could be. Yeah.
Yeah. And Alex goes to a live feed of Fox News because he gets kind of like, I don't have the information.
Yeah.
Let's go to a live feed. I'll look into stuff a little bit. And then while the Fox News part is playing, Alex gets caught on a hot mic.
But let's go ahead and go to a live Fox feed right now.
Given the intelligence, which started to come out tonight at a top level meeting where the Gang of Eight was given some information about what that intelligence held.
I'm not gonna
do the show until we're going to learn more about that potentially tomorrow.
So you can hear him say, I'm not going to do the show until I get numbers.
Yeah.
Because I think he knows. I got to have this. Yeah. We got to know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But that's interesting. Why was his mic still on? That mic should have been off.
Yeah.
Are there amateurs working the board? Does he have a diminished staff? Is this going to be a problem later? We'll see.
Okay.
So Alex
All right.
comes back from...
I'm starting to think those were rhetorical questions.
Yes, they might be. So Alex comes back from the Fox News feed.
Sure.
And I think actually, you know, I looking into initially why I jumped to the live stream was to see if he was being unfair about his own coverage about the deaths.
Right.
And I think he's not. I think he's when he comes back, here's what he says. And I think it's totally fair.
All right. We are live. And there's been a bunch of people in news organizations on Twitter reporting Tripp's dead. We're glad to tell you that we've not found anything that is documenting that. So we're just glad that that is false reports. What has been confirmed is Iran's taking credit.
So that's, you know, he's yeah. saying, hey, people are talking about this. We can't find confirmation of it. Great.
Yeah.
So now, you know, Alex earlier said that he had a source.
Yes.
Guess who that source was?
Zach.
You bet.
Knew it.
Zach is back.
I knew it. I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
I knew he was going to make a return journey.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
So in the live stream Alex did this evening on the 7th, in response to the missile attack, he had Zach back on. For those of you new to the show, Zach was Alex's fake intelligence source who was an attempt to take over the internet space that was occupied by QAnon.
Also the star of Saved by the Bell.
I mean, when Zach was on the show back on January 5th, 2018, Alex literally called him, quote, our real QAnon.
Absolutely.
That effort and attempt to co-opt QAnon failed pretty hard, mostly since the Q people didn't like Alex at all and think he's controlled opposition. So there's really nothing he can do to win them over.
Strangely enough, Mark Paul Gosselaar is Q. It's
true.
A really weird twist
it's
of
true.
Events. It's a really weird twist
Working
of
with
events.
Screech. Screech is doing the tech stuff.
Is he back in jail?
Maybe. I haven't heard Zach on for a while, but interestingly, whereas in the past, Alex had been hiding his identity, his name is public now. His name is Zachary Lee Klawan, and the credit, his official title that's given on the Chiron on InfoWars
yeah.
is Think Tank Engineer, which I think is mysterious. I don't know. I don't care.
Okay.
One thing I noticed is that Zach doesn't really sound the same to me. His voice itself is close enough that it doesn't make me suspicious that it's a different person.
Oh, okay.
But the way he's speaking is totally different. Back when he was anonymous, he spoke with authority. But now, it's much more suggestive. He's mm-hmm. being very hinting. He's making the argument on this episode that Obama sending money to Iran as part of the nuclear deal, which was Iran's money, financed this attack. But he's not saying that. He's hinting at it, which seems weird. If he's a high-level intelligence guy and all that, he shouldn't need to use the same dumb rhetorical tricks Alex does. Also, he calls the IRGC the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, which seems weird. I feel like every military person in the world knows how to pronounce core. In the interview, he says the word problematic about 1,000 times also. He just keeps saying things are problematic, which makes him sound like a dumb dumb.
It sounds very problematic.
Anyway, now that I have Zach's name, I can tell you a little bit more about him.
Let's hear about Zach.
Before, there really wasn't anything to go on to look into who he was. Like, I just had the name Zach, and like some of his family lives in Morocco. That's not a lot to go on. But now, I can introduce you to Zach Klawan.
Let's find out.
Zach went to high school at Braden River High School in Bradenton, Florida.
Ah, oh, that's the same high school Q went to.
No. It's the childhood home, though, that town of MLB great Carlton Fisk.
Hey, he was a real piece of shit racist.
He also has a great name, and there's a rapper, I think it was on No Limit Records, named Carlton Fisk.
Yeah.
I always thought was, me and my buddy Nikki Gifts always thought that it was really funny that this guy, choosing a rap name, just chose
Carlton
a fucking
Fisk.
baseball player.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. So Zach and I have something in common in that we both didn't finish high school. I dropped out, but Zach was actually expelled from school for having a gun on school grounds, as reported in a 2008 article in the Herald Tribune. The article was about how 10 students were barred from graduation ceremonies because of explicit and threatening rap songs they'd performed and posted online, I believe, as the article is saying, on MySpace. Apparently, they were pretty antagonistic to their rival high school, Lakewood Ranch, and the song included lyrics like, quote, "Lakewood boys is gonna bleed." Zach had been kicked out of school for having a gun the year prior, but was still one of the rappers on this track, threatening his old school's rival. So that tells me he's very cool. To be clear, I'm less concerned with the rap song. You know, I don't, you know, whatever. People do
stuff. Yeah, yeah, no.
People do dumb stuff.
We have mutual friends who have done rap song YouTube videos in the past.
I'm just more interested in the fact that he had a gun at school. That, to me, is much a bigger of a deal. I just think that this rap song is a bit dorky.
If it was reversed, I would assume you were Rush Limbaugh from the 90s. I am more angry about this rap music than I am about... Yeah, you should have guns on school campus.
Right.
But this rap music...
Yeah. So after this, Zach enlisted in the Army, and he reached the rank of specialist by 2010, which is the rank just directly above private first class. That year, Zach went public with allegations that he'd been harassed in the service because he's a Muslim. In an article in ABC News, Zach tells a story of being the subject of abuse as soon as basic training started, with his drill instructor singling him out and mocking the idea of him attending Islamic religious services. He was specifically selected to portray a terrorist in training exercises. A fellow soldier desecrated his Quran by tearing out pages and tossing them around. They would call him, quote, "Raghead, Sand Monkey, and Zachary Bin Laden." One day, 3 weeks into his time at Fort Hood, Zach found a piece of paper in the windshield wiper of his truck that said, quote, "Hey, carpet jockey, go back where you came from." After the Fort Hood shooting, it got so bad that he had to be moved off the base for his own safety. In 2010, there were memos written. I found these memos.
Yeah.
That were written by the Office of the Undersecretary of Defense regarding Zach's allegations of harassment. In the memos, it says, quote, "The attached letter addressed to the Secretary of Defense concerns alleged harassment of a Muslim soldier assigned to Fort Hood. The letter is from the Council on American-Islamic Relations on behalf of Army Specialist Zachary Klawan. Alex has repeatedly and consistently called CARE a terrorist organization, but when Zach was dealing with a very serious situation, they were who he went to for help."
Sure.
After this, Zach went on CNN and Al Jazeera to do interviews about how the Army had ignored his complaints about religious harassment and how there's a serious problem with Islamophobia in the military. I found some blogs talking about him having a lawsuit against the Army, but I don't fully trust those sites, and I wasn't able to find concrete evidence of the lawsuit, though I accept it's probably true.
Sure.
He probably did have this lawsuit.
Yeah.
I don't care to comb through Zach's social media posts or anything like that, but a couple of interesting things do come up if you Google his name. One is his LinkedIn page, which says that he's retired from the Army. I'm not positive when he left, but I would not be surprised if it wasn't too long after he started going around domestic and foreign news programs talking about how the Army training includes propaganda against Islam.
They usually don't like
that. By the way,
that.
His words.
Yeah, well, I mean, I Like, I don't believe that.
Right. Another thing you can find is a profile for Zachary Klawan on Explore Talent, a website for people looking to book acting gigs. The page isn't very active, and honestly, I can't even really be sure that it wasn't made by someone else trying to make it look like he's an actor.
Sure.
I have no fucking idea.
Whatever.
But it does come up, and who knows what that means. I can find no indication that Zach has any relation to the military at this point in his life, other than that he used to be a specialist in the Army. I can find no evidence that he was in the intelligence field, and honestly, a lot of that stuff just seems to be made up. My heart goes out to him for the harassment he said he had to endure while he was enlisted, but I can't help but wonder how he could possibly be the type of person who would go on the news and do interviews about anti-Muslim bigotry in the army, and also the type of person who would be okay associating with Alex Jones, an extreme anti-Muslim bigot. I could speculate on that, but it would be kind of pointless. As it stands now, I just don't think that there's any reason to take anything he's saying to Alex seriously.
Yeah.
He was formerly in the military, but so what? So was the dude who lived next door to me when I was 19, who I smoked weed with.
Yeah, but how's he doing?
He had some interesting ideas.
What's he up to now? Maybe we should give him a call and see what's going on.
The last time I was in Colombia, I did go find him.
Yeah.
It was nice to hang out again.
Oh, but, that's cool.
Yeah, it was just a situation where I was 19.
What's the news?
What's up?
What's the news?
There wasn't. He got clean, which was actually pretty good.
From the army?
No, from drugs. I was happy for him at that point. But it was a situation where I had a lot of weed, and he was, you know, living on a controlled income, and
sure,
I would go come over, bring a joint, we'd smoke, and he'd just tell me stories of like his life after coming back from Vietnam and stuff like that. And so, yeah, I mean, but he had some pretty interesting theories.
Right, right.
And I would take them as seriously as I'm going to take anything that Zach says.
Yeah, that's probably quite frankly. Smart. That's a smart move.
Yeah. So Zach is on. And really, it's an interesting portrait because I think the fact he brought a gun to school and got expelled is relevant, but also like not the biggest deal in the world. Because I don't know if there's any indication that he brought it in a threatening way. I still think it's way out of line. I think it getting expelled for that is 100% worth.
Yeah.
That's
get the fuck
relevant.
Out. Get the fuck out.
It's a good response.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it was a situation where he was threatening anybody. It could just be a thing. I mean, I think it's entirely possible that maybe he had a gun in his car. Still bad.
Sure. Sure.
Not the same as bringing it to school to threaten people. But I think the most important thing is this. There's a lot of trail in his life that is speaking out against anti-Muslim bigotry in the army. It makes no sense for him to be on InfoWars. There's something up here.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is. It could be a situation where he lost it. He completely.
Sure.
But also you could see a situation where because of his experiences, because of the inaction on the part of the army, he could have a really serious resentment against the United States government and the army itself.
Sure.
You could see him gravitating towards Alex because of some sort of an anti-government fascination that he has built because of his experience.
Could be.
Or it could just be something like entirely craven. Like, I don't know.
I lean immediately to if you are on Alex's show today, there is some scam activity in your past. I don't know what it is. I'm not going to say that, I'm not going to say that his harassment stuff was fabricated or any of that nonsense. I don't know, but everything is suspect. Everything is suspect after that. Yeah. I don't trust any part of what you say happened.
I have no reason to not trust his experience in the army. Like I don't have any reason to distrust that, but
other than he's on InfoWars today, that's my reasoning.
It is tough. It's tough.
That's where I come from.
Sure. So Zach is on, and most of it is just this: he's trying to imply that the Iran deal, Obama giving Iran its money back, is funding these attacks. It's really basically his big point.
And the timeline is this. In 2016, the Obama administration allowed $1.7 billion in cash to flood into Iran. On record. No big deal. That's New York Times. That's Los Angeles Times. That's verified by the Treasury. They allowed $1.7 billion to flood into Iran. And now we see the situation we have.
So he's just spouting a fairly popular conspiracy theory among the right, and that is that Obama has funded this. It's ridiculous.
What kind of idiot says $1.7 billion flooded into Iran? Flooded into what? How did it flood into Iran?
Well, the dam burst. And
oh, okay. Then the money wave took over.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah.
Gotcha.
So here's where I think everything gets incredibly suspicious and all of the pieces sort of come together. Alex has earlier said that there was this denial of service attack going on InfoWars. Alex earlier got caught on a hot mic. Zach is a suspicious character. All of that merges into play in this next clip. Put your mic down for this, because this is so fucked up.
The point in the accurate intel is that they are targeting, and let's say they, when you talk about cuts forces, when you talk about individuals who happen to be in the country, around the world, who are well-trained and getting orders, is to attack social media influencers, protectors of America, people who have a platform, political figures, and eventually, with the fatwa, the bounty on the president of the United States' head.
Did you hear that?
I think I heard him burp.
No. Here, listen to that. Just that part where he got caught on the
hot mic. Oh, just that part. No. Yeah, I swear I heard him burp earlier in the clip.
No, I think he accidentally hit the table and it made a burnt noise.
I know it went boom, but I...
No, here, listen to this.
Okay.
Fatwa.
He's saying...
Brain dead?
This is pretty good.
This is pretty good.
Yeah.
I heard this is brain dead.
Fatwa.
This is pretty good.
You're right. It is pretty good.
Alex is having severe problems with knowing when his mic is on during this live stream. I would guess it's because he can't afford to pay the whole crew to be there for an off-hours impromptu live stream. Whatever the case, he has Zach prattling on about how social media influencers and defenders of America are the real targets, according to his intel. And wouldn't you know it, Alex is pretending that he was having a DDoS attack earlier in the stream. It's almost like this is all planned out. It's almost like they're all working on some kind of a narrative building thing here.
So you're saying that all of these things put together would suggest the conclusion that they want you to draw?
Uh-huh.
That I don't get where you're coming from.
I would strongly suspect.
That's a coincidence that the news is.
I would strongly suspect that I was being paranoid and making things up. But in that clip, you can hear Alex, thinking he's off mic, say to Owen Schroyer, who's in studio with him, "This is pretty good." What's pretty good? The idea that Iranians are going to attack social media influencers and patriots? Because if that were true, that's absolutely not good. That would be bad, especially for a patriot, self-identified social media influencer like Alex. It's super good, however, if you know that it's bullshit and you're trying to run a pageant.
It does. It does seem like there's no fear of actual retaliation there.
Here's what I know. Alex is saying this is pretty good to Owen because he knows that the angle is pretty good one as a way to make the story about himself, hopefully to boost traffic to InfoWars and make some money. And Zach is clearly a participant, but I'm not sure how much of that is based on collaboration between him and Alex or how much it's just him knowing what Alex likes and needs.
Yeah,
I don't know what's going on here precisely, but whatever it is falls directly under the headline of manipulation.
Yeah, for sure.
Alex was talking about the DDoS attack earlier. It's possible that Zach was listening to him, looking for clues of ways to build on the narrative.
Sure.
And he's operating completely on his own. It's also possible that when Alex called him earlier, before having him on, he was saying all right, look, the angle we're going with is that Iranians are going to be attacking me.
Right.
And so Zach is presenting his intel like that. It's possible that it's a collaborative effort. Possible that Zach is just intuitive enough to understand. The fact that Alex thinks his mic is off and says this is pretty good is fucked up.
Sure. Now, I will posit one alternative to you, and I will admit that it is unlikely. It certainly makes less narrative sense than what you've got going on, but it's more likely than 0%, and that is that Alex did burp earlier. And he is telling Owen that the sandwich he is eating is delicious.
When camera is not on him when this is happening, so I can't say that. But when the camera does come back, there's no food or drink.
There's no food or drink. No. Ah, man!
But he could have gotten rid of it.
He could have put it underneath the. He could have put it underneath the desk.
It's possible.
I will always entertain the possibility that he is eating or drinking something.
It's important not to jump to conclusions, and so yes, there is other possible explanations for why he would say this is pretty good to Owen while in the middle of his fake intelligence source saying that you guys are the real targets.
Of course,
there is possible other explanations, but whatever.
Man likes to eat while he's on air.
No, because he went to Dan's Hamburgers after this.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Mm.
He's not eating a sandwich.
Dangerous. Yeah. Dangerous.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look.
He's actually eating some halal, strangely enough.
Sure.
Strangely enough.
Whatever's going on here is deeply suspicious.
Yeah.
That's, No. I believe you.
I was listening to this, and I just thought, like, I mean, first of all, it's interesting now that we know who Zach is to get a picture of him and see how incongruous what he's doing now is with what he was doing, let's say, 8 years ago.
Yeah.
You got to wonder, what is the reason for that? Why is that going on? Obviously, fucking Kud's forces aren't attacking Alex.
No. They're really not as interested with social media influencers as Zach would have you believe.
Or dumb radio shows.
That's usually.
But Alex is using Zach, his high-profile intelligence fake QAnon guy, to push forth and to launder the narrative that his intel sources are saying that people like Alex are going to be the targets. It's just all very suspicious.
It was weird whenever I looked up anti-Alex Jones podcasts and there was ours and the Kud's. They have their own knowledge fight. I don't know how to say it in.
So Alex, we now jump back to the 8th because the rest of that stream is a disaster. He takes some calls and then leaves. And Greg Reese, one of his employees, and Owen Schroyer takes more phone calls. And then Owen leaves and gets replaced by Harrison Smith.
Right.
Who cares? It goes on forever, and they just take a bunch of dumb calls. And,
the true news of the night, though, is Alex saw people who were Muslim in Dan's
Later, yes.
Exactly, yes.
Well, that's the headline. Alex kind of just leaves after he talks to Zach, because I think he's gotten what he needs out of it.
We've
established
this. We got Zach,
this.
We got the narrative, tomorrow we're going to run with it.
I don't think he's running with it the next day, though. I don't see him saying they're going to attack InfoWars or anything.
Of course, because that would be too smart to run with the narrative that you established the night before.
Right. I think it's more like this is going to work for the immediate and allow people, or it'll lead people to keep their eyes glued to this, this stream.
Yeah.
I think it's more of that, and then fundraise as best you can on the live stream.
Sure.
I get the sense that that's the case, because the next day he's just hating Islam. Like,
right.
The next day it's not.
Well, he got distracted because Muslim people are real.
Right. So he comes back on the 8th and he starts taking some calls, and he gets a caller from Finland who says some really fucked up things.
What InfoWars is doing is like a church mission. A church is where people gather to find and to get revelations from God, to pray and to get revelation, and then you get a mission based on that, and you go out and you act. And that is, in my opinion, what InfoWars is doing, and I really do believe it is important that we start tithing.
So we got a church of InfoWars now.
We got a tithe to InfoWars?
Right. I mean, Alex has said that in the past.
That's true.
These callers saying it is very strange.
I don't like
it. It's disturbing.
I if you are from Finland, you're not allowed to tithe to InfoWars.
I would
specifically Finland. I don't know why. Finland's off the
list.
You
have some strange lines.
I do.
So that call is great. Alex is like, yeah, everyone should give me money. Hooray. And he takes another call from a guy named Scotty in Virginia, who's calling in to tell Alex that he's starting a militia because of the gun grabbing.
That's not happening again for the 20th consecutive year of.
There may be some gun regulations grabbing that end up being introduced in Virginia.
Sure.
But the extent to which the extreme right is very paranoid about this.
Right.
Certainly not in appropriate measure.
Right.
But so this guy is calling in and saying he's going to start a militia. And Alex says something really dumb.
Last time I checked, it's only a couple counties that are in Northern Virginia that are Democrats. But almost all the other counties, over 90%, are saying we're not turning the guns in. And the sheriffs have had press conferences, and they've had hundreds and sometimes thousands of people at the county commission meetings all agreeing. That's local government saying we don't agree to the King of England taking our guns. Just because the King of Virginia, King Northam, is controlled by the globalists doesn't mean we're going to turn them in. And so the Democrats are spoiling to start a fight. Well, this isn't going to be like Eisenhower sending in the army so little black girls can go to school. Everybody agreed with that pretty much.
You didn't.
This is the feds coming in to take guns, and it's not going to work.
So we'll get to that in a second, but Alex is sadly not too far off. There are a lot of counties in Virginia that have passed these gun sanctuary resolutions, which is nuts.
Sure.
Granted, this is a completely symbolic gesture and means nothing from a legal perspective, but I would say it's a pretty good indication of the mood. Mary McCord, the legal director for the Georgetown University Law Center's Institute for Constitutional Advocacy and Protection, recently wrote a piece in the Washington Post that had an interesting take on this gun sanctuary trend that's going on.
Stop it, you morons!
From the article, quote, Virginia state law prohibits local governments from enacting ordinances or resolutions that are inconsistent with state laws, and more directly, specifically prohibits local governments from regulating firearms. That's going to be a problem for Alex.
So I wonder why.
That's not a federal law. That is a state law.
Yeah.
So unless he's going to amend his position that the Constitution, he says he's going to have to say it's really about the counties,
right,
or something. He's going to have to recognize that these county resolutions are meaningless.
Now, there's only one thing that these guys believe, which is that democracy is great so long as everybody agrees with what I say. And if by some evil circumstance, the evil Democrats who disagree with me steal their way into office,
right,
I ignore them completely, because democracy isn't democracy unless everybody agrees with me.
States' rights, except.
Except.
So the article goes on to mention that an 1886 Supreme Court ruling, Presser versus Illinois, ruled that the Second Amendment, quote, does not prevent the prohibition of private paramilitary organizations, which it's noted are actually illegal according to the constitutions of 48 states, including Virginia. This is a problem because at this point in the episode, like I said, Alex is on the phone with this guy who's literally talking about how he's organizing a private militia. This is a public discussion of an explicit crime and a violation of the Virginia Constitution. People like Alex and the Oath Keepers are whipping gun weirdos into a complete frenzy that could lead to dangerous results. Their argument is bad. Local governments can't do anything close to what they're pretending they can. And if a local government is in opposition to the laws of the state, their only real recourse is to challenge the state law in court, which would likely not work in this case. They kind of know that that path wouldn't work, so it looks like they're committed to angling for some kind of a standoff, which is a really bad sign.
Yeah.
And also, Alex can fuck himself with that pretty much everyone supported Eisenhower sending in the National Guard to protect the black students in Little Rock when the schools were desegregated bullshit.
Don't you remember, Dan? Whenever you look at all those videos of people watching,
everyone was in favor of it.
Everybody was like, yay! There were definitely no, like, newspaper articles after newspaper articles decrying how evil and tyrannical it was that Eisenhower would have the gall to enforce the Constitution they love so much.
And I would ask this question right off the bat. If pretty much everyone was for it, why was it necessary to send in the National Guard?
Because that one single school was against it.
Maybe it's because a whole lot of people were super racist and not in favor of integration. I don't want to descend too deeply into this issue, but you know who was super not into Eisenhower sending the National Guard to protect these students?
The John Birch Society?
George Wallace.
Yeah.
6 years after Eisenhower sent in the guard, then-governor of Alabama, George Wallace, held his Stand in the Schoolhouse Door event, where racists tried to keep schools segregated by physically blocking black students from entering. This was part of his philosophy, which, if you recall, was segregation now, segregation tomorrow, segregation forever.
You can't prove he said that unless there's audio.
A lot of it? I bring this up because Wallace physically tried to stop black kids from going to school in 1963, which brought him a bunch of attention. It also required JFK to federalize the Alabama National Guard to get Wallace to stop being an asshole. Wallace being a national star among racists after this point, he rose in ascendancy, and he parlayed that into presidential runs in 1964 and 1968. So many of Alex's spiritual ancestors were George Wallace supporters. Gary Allen, the guy who wrote Alex Jones's favorite book, None Dare Call It Conspiracy, served as Wallace's speechwriter during both of his presidential campaigns.
Now, he did, though, agree with Eisenhower that he should have sent that.
George Wallace's campaign deployed rhetoric that mirrored that of the John Birch Society, and he actually said, I have no problem with the John Birch Society.
There we go.
And his staff was full of Birchers, and he almost chose a notorious Bircher, Ezra Taft Benson, as his running mate. Benson, as a prominent Mormon and anti-communist, provides a link to W. Cleon Skousen. The George Wallace campaigns for president are inexorable from the swamp from which Alex's worldview emerged. It takes some brass balls for him to pretend that pretty much everyone was for Eisenhower calling in the National Guard when almost literally everyone he admires and considers a hero of modern history actively fought against that, and for the man who wanted to do the opposite, which, again, I should remind you, is keeping black kids out of school.
Yes, yes. Well, if they are, and the argument continues. That's
it's,
it.
It's ludicrous. It's ludicrous for him to get on air and be like, yeah, everyone was
Isn't
for
it
that.
Isn't it amazing how quickly they do that? It's so amazing how it only takes one generation of separation for everybody to be like, well, obviously I would have supported Martin Luther King Jr. Of course I would have.
Nope.
Now I voted for Trump. And I really do love the build the wall to keep out the brown people rhetoric. But I love Martin Luther King Jr. Yeah. Love it.
It's even worse. It's even worse than
just
that.
Just say that you would have been against Martin Luther King Jr. Everybody knows it.
Everybody who shaped Alex's worldview, his beliefs, his narratives, the formative writers and thinkers of his upbringing.
Sure.
Like, his parents were clearly inundated with John Birch Society material,
right,
if they weren't actually members.
But they very much supported Eisenhower sending those.
He believes everything about global conspiracy and all this shit because of the writings of Gary Allen and W. Cleon Skousen.
Right.
There is no part of what he believes about the world that isn't in some way very closely related to George Wallace's campaign that also is connected to all kinds of other horrible shit.
You know who else was totally in favor of Eisenhower doing all that stuff? Fred Trump.
Sure.
I'm sure he was. When he got arrested at that KKK rally, he was also protesting for Eisenhower to send the troops in. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
So go fuck yourself, Alex.
Yeah.
Now, Alex gets to talking about his legal troubles.
Sure.
His court cases.
Hey.
He believes that these legal sanctions that they're applying are just because they know they can't win the case, so they're trying to destroy him that way. Which is like, oh, well, just behave differently then, and they can't. That would be one.
I don't understand.
So he is also being sued by Brendan Gilmore, who is a guy who Alex defamed after the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville.
Yeah.
And I believe, based on this clip, that there might be some news coming out about that
soon. He's about to get fucked up on that.
I think Alex is aware that there's going to be some bad news.
Ooh, no.
About that case. And this may be preemptive damage control.
The system knows they can't shut us down with these lawsuits because they're based in baloney. So they want the process to shut us down by claiming we're not complying with the process, which we are totally. We have nothing to hide about Virginia or Sandy Hook. What we said on air is what we said.
Oops.
But then in the process of discovery saying we're criminally,
I don't think that's a good defense
stuff
for
up,
you.
And then, oh, child porn's found embedded on emails we never opened, sent to us about Sandy Hook since the suit started. Hidden code that, of course, they got and found and put on the news that Alex Jones sent child porn to the Sandy Hook families. That's the type of stuff going on. And I've been talking to law enforcement. I've been talking to lawyers and others. And there's no doubt that Democrat operatives out there are trying to put a federal case on me to put me in jail like Roger Stone. And I'm not scared. They're the crooks. They're the bad people. Whatever they try to cook up, I believe God is going to defeat. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. But if they've already tried to plant child porn on us, folks, I mean, I got a call from D.C. yesterday. That's where this is all being run out of. And they said, yeah, this is the word. They're going to try some big stuff next week out of the fake Virginia case. So just be ready for some really nasty stuff next week because they are pissed that we exist. Very pissed.
So look forward to Monday. Probably some headlines.
Oh, boy. Did you guys send Rob Dew out there again? Jesus Christ.
Oh, that would be
what
great.
What are you doing? Are we going to get another Dew position?
That would be great. Yeah. I just see, like, such sad spin here.
That's
this is
not
very
good.
Weak.
You're going to get some bad news out of Virginia but because they're... Because they hate us, not because we're so utterly incompetent.
Right. So Alex starts rambling about various news headlines, and this one caught my fancy because it's very dumb.
And now juveniles can't be arrested in California if they commit crimes. So, of course, the cartels are going to use kids even more. It's crazy.
This California is out of control. Mountain lions eating everybody. Children can't be arrested.
It's a state you never go to. Shut up about it.
Except to go do Rogan.
Yeah.
Which you desperately want to do.
No, you don't care. Just don't care.
In September 2018, Governor Jerry Brown signed two bills that were aimed at adjusting how children were treated by the courts. One of them, Senate Bill 439, made it so, except in cases of murder or rape, people younger than 12 cannot be prosecuted in court. they're still obviously subject to some kind of process, whether it's child welfare reviews or psychiatric screenings. It's just that the state recognizes that it's probably not cool to treat an 11-year-old like they're old enough to be exposed to a criminal justice system.
No, I think it's a good idea to expose children under the age of 12 to horrifying
right.
lawyers and a system that is cruel and pointless.
Yes.
Yes, I like it.
The second bill, Senate Bill 1391, makes it so you can't try someone younger than 16 as an adult. They would still be tried for their crimes, but they would be sent to a juvenile facility instead of an adult prison if convicted. The juvenile justice system already has mechanisms in place to hold someone after they turn 18 if the circumstances require it. So it's not like these offenders would just be getting a free pass if they commit a crime at 17 or whatever. Yeah. This is what Alex has turned into a narrative that you can't arrest minors in California. I think it might be fair to say that in addition to lying, Alex is also being kind of a racist here. According to an article in the Sacramento Bee, Jerry Brown said it was a hard choice to sign this bill, but he was swayed to sign the bill based on, quote, stark racial and geographic disparity in how young men and women are treated who have committed similar crimes.
Yeah.
Part of what these bills aim to do is to work against a trend of criminalizing behaviors in young non-white people whose actions you might call precocious or a mistake were they white. This is part of the conversation surrounding these bills. So assuming Alex knows anything about the subject he's talking about, he should know that. And he's staunchly opposed to the bills and is trying to encourage his audience to hate the bills by lying about what they do. What I'm saying is, ultimately, he either has no idea what he's talking about, or he does, and he's lying about bills meant to make the juvenile justice system more fair and equitable. Neither is good.
Yeah.
He's an asshole.
People really don't want to admit... never mind. White people really don't want to admit that most problems have a massive racial element to them. In the country, there are very few problems that don't have a massive racial inequality to them.
Particularly in the legal and criminal justice system.
Yeah.
It's something that they just do not want
to... It's infected.
Not all white people, but people like Alex, particularly, they just do not want to unpack that stuff.
No.
And it's...
Because if you start pulling that thread, then you go all the way back and you're like, the very beginning of the criminal justice system is purely discriminatory.
Like slave patrols
and
shit?
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah,
absolutely.
Once you go back, you have to admit once again that the United States is a fundamentally racist country.
So Alex now starts talking about how... So I don't know. I don't quite know how to set this up. He believes that there was a source that he was aware of and he knows about that said that 3 billion people in the world are suffering from iodine deficiency.
Sure.
Now, he can only find... He can't find that source anymore.
I don't even think he can find somebody who has an iodine deficiency.
He starts freaking out about this, and it's kind of funny.
All right, folks, a little bit earlier I was going from memory, but I was saying 3 billion people, the UN says, have iodine deficiency and have had mental disabilities from it. But the latest numbers I've got from the National Institute of Health, because Wikipedia has changed this entry and removed it, probably because we were talking about it.
One thing, really?
Said 3 billion.
Oh, so first of all, point of order. This was from Wikipedia. So that's point number one.
This says the IDD is concerned a public health problem worldwide affecting all groups of people, of which children and lactating women are the most vulnerable categories. At a global scale, approximately 2 billion people suffer iodine deficiency, of which approximately 50 million present the clinical manifestations in daily food intake. And I'm going to go into the Wikipedia entries and see who removed that, because it had links to government reports saying 3.2 billion. And I know we even did shows on that about a month ago and showed it. So I'll go into the Wikipedia entries. Now, this is so important, I should just go off air. Seriously.
Do it.
You know, like if a nuke went off over a major city, we'd all pause to grasp it if 10 million people died.
Or if a Wikipedia entry was by a
300 megaton bomb, killed everybody. But billions get brain damage. They admit it. And then someone went into Wikipedia, because we just spent the last few segments looking it up, and removed it out. And now I went and found it. We went and found it. Actually, the boom operator found it in the National Institutes of Health.
What is he on his phone?
And other organizations saying 2 billion people. So, again, that's a big deal. And it's a bigger deal. Who's going into Wikipedia and removing the entry that said 3 billion?
First, I love the idea of Alex pulling out like a Sherlock Holmes pipe and playing detective, pouring through the edits on Wikipedia to see who took down his 3 billion statistic. I have no idea what he's talking about, and honestly, it's totally possible he's just misremembering something he read on Wikipedia, or that he's embellished the number to begin with, or it's an out-of-date source or something, because there's a lot of progress that's been made globally in terms of iodine deficiency.
Yeah.
Alex is absolutely correct that there are serious problems that come from iodine deficiency, including physical and mental disabilities. And that, according to a recent report from UNICEF, the number of people suffering from the iodine-related things, it is probably close to about 2 billion worldwide. However, it's important to understand where these 2 billion people are. People suffering from iodine deficiency are almost exclusively in the developing world. Countries that practice salt iodization eliminate almost all iodine deficiency. And between 1990 and 2000, quote, 34 countries achieved the elimination of iodine deficiency through universal salt iodization. This is a very effective solution to the problem. And generally, the countries where this is the biggest issue are countries that have economic barriers to importing iodized salt or with producing it domestically. Or there's another issue, like they're war-torn to the point where implementing these sorts of programs is just unviable.
It's just not possible.
Yeah. Or they have like large, disconnected rural areas where it's somewhat unfeasible.
Right. I'm sure there are several parts of India that have serious iodine
deficiency.
Yeah.
It's a difficulty, but it's a problem that many good people, including the UN, are working towards solving. Vast numbers of people with iodine deficiency or who are at an increased risk for it are in India, Pakistan, Sudan, and Afghanistan. According to the CDC, quote, iodine deficiency disorders such as goiter, cretinism, stillbirth, spontaneous abortion, and retarded physical and intellectual development have been virtually eliminated through the iodization of salt. This is important because Alex is only talking about any of this because he's trying to sell his iodine pills.
Yeah.
And the way he's trying to pretend that they're important is by citing the statistic that 2 billion people worldwide are iodine deficient. But the thing is, the people who are iodine deficient are almost entirely not a part of the market that Alex is selling to. He's trying to take a very serious issue that people in developing countries are struggling with and that the UN is working to resolve, and he's using it as a prop to try and convince his audience that maybe there's something wrong with them that iodine pills can solve. This is super abusive marketing. There is a slight decrease in iodine intake in the United States population that experts and people who look into this stuff have noted, but that's kind of a part, it's probably due to the sea salt trend. Sea salt doesn't generally contain iodine, so people who are using mostly sea salt, they're not taking in as much iodine as they would if they just used table salt, and they should be doing
that. Gotcha.
Also, certain diets have increased in popularity recently, like veganism. And those also increase your risk for decreased iodine intake based on the things that would be part of your diet. I find it unlikely, though, that there are many vegans in Alex's audience.
Ted?
Huh? The solution to this problem is not Alex's pills.
No.
It's salt.
I halfway expect it with the decrease in America. Experts are like, and it's all anti-vaxxers again. Those guys are fucking everything up.
It's just salt.
Yep.
So Alex talks about some articles here about iodine, and I have responses to both of them that are just like, this is such sloppy, amateurish bullshit.
And I was kind of running around here all aggressively during the break. I appreciate the crew. This makes me angry. We can probably find my old folders on iodine and actually where we had the Wikipedia printed and show how they removed it. Because there's a lot of stuff. Here's the New York Times. China confronts retardation of millions deficient in iodine. New York Times. But see, that's 1996. You don't hear that anymore. Even though it's worse, they're saying. Pregnant mothers and the dangers of iodine deficiency. London Guardian. 2016. I'm going to stop ranting. I said I'd go to your calls. And no, I'm not doing it. It just makes me so angry that they want us dumb and want us controlled. And yes, I went off on the jag because the caller talked about the product. X2, X3 are both excellent sources of iodine. X2 sold out.
This is all sales. That's all this is, man. That first article he's talking about China from 1996, makes sense. The Chinese government only introduced a salt iodization program in 1995, before which point their population was at a very high risk of deficiency.
Right.
Since that point, iodine deficiency has become a much smaller problem in the country, though some problems do remain. Again, when you talk...
Large rural population.
Sure.
Yeah.
Also, when you talk about China, it's a gigantic country with a huge population that they all live in a lot of different locales.
Yeah.
China's learned that the different provinces have different requirements. So in 2018, China announced that they were going to enact different iodine standards depending on local needs. For instance, some coastal areas have diets that are higher in iodine-rich foods, so their requirements for supplementation would be lower than people inland. And you can end up with, like, some studies have shown that some of the population is actually getting too much iodine,
which
also isn't healthy.
Right.
So really what China is doing is trying to make some tweaks to the program based on results.
Right.
Either way,
how dare they?
Alex is referring to a 24-year-old article here, so you know he's in bad shape.
I was gonna say just that. Now, this one's from 1996. They don't talk about it anymore. It's like, Alex, you know why they don't talk about it anymore.
And they do talk about it, but it's about like the evolving situation.
They're trying to they're balancing out the iodine diet. Yeah. That's the situation.
As for the article about pregnancies, that also makes total sense. When someone is pregnant, their dietary needs change, what with another person growing inside them. Some estimates are that their iodine intake should increase around 50%. And the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends that people take iodine supplements while pregnant and nursing just to be safe. It's not a surprise at all that Alex could find an article about iodine in pregnancy. It just doesn't say what he's pretending it says. Again, big point, this is all about sales. Nothing he's saying depicts reality, but he's trying to create a sense in his listeners that they themselves might be iodine deficient. And it's a grand plot by the globalists to dumb everyone down. This narrative only exists to get them to buy his pills. This is deeply abusive marketing.
Yeah.
Creating a feeling of lack or something's wrong with you and it's not. It's just gross.
Yeah, I mean, it's just marketing, though. But it's
abusive.
That's how we got fucking mouthwash.
Sure.
They invented a problem. And then used floor cleaner.
But it feels minty.
It does. It does feel minty.
Alex gets back and he starts taking some calls. And he decides to go to take a call from Liberal. Now, if you recall, we heard Liberal call.
We got Liberal?
A couple days back.
We got Caribbean accent Liberal?
Yes.
I love it.
He called in and had some critiques of Alex's position about Iran a couple days back. Now, Liberal calls back in.
Does he have his own show yet?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
And I don't think he's going to get one after this.
After this one?
No.
Oh.
So he calls in, and I don't know exactly what point he was trying to make, but Alex, I think what happened is that he forgot that this caller was. I think he forgot that he called in and had some judgmental words for Alex, but then he hears the voice, and he remembers. And Alex starts screaming at him.
Okay, of course.
I think that's what goes on here. And it turns into an intensely Islamophobic rant.
Sure.
Who's been holding the longest? That would be Liberal in New York. Liberal, what is your view on the situation?
Hey, Alex. I wanted to speak on the Iran issue, but then I heard the level of aggression that you had towards Muslims. Now, bear in mind.
That's right. I hide nothing. I admit it. I'm afraid and I'm angry. And I'm not going to be politically correct. If I'm scared of people and I'm scared of lying down, I'm going to be honest. I'm not politically correct.
Okay, so that is your prerogative, Alex. But the reason why I brought...
Oh, my God! There weren't any Muslims 1,400 years ago. You run half the planet!
There weren't any Christians.
You want to rule me?
Why am I even bothering?
Okay.
Okay, we get you, infidel. Soon we will put you on galleys.
And still going, huh?
Will serve us well. Tell me, I hear the laugh. Go ahead, tell me about it.
Okay,
so the thing infidel. Me an infidel.
Oh,
all right. Oh, Alex, you're going to serve us well.
But in
I like
event,
you.
Alex,
you've got big balls.
It shows to me, Alex, it shows to me the efficacy of.
It shows to me that you'll serve a Zionist swine who will be driven into the ocean. I'm just imitating the Ayatollah right now.
No, I understand, Alex, but can I get a word in edgewise? I just want to...
Call me...
The answer to that is no, buddy.
But in any event, Alex, all I'm saying is that the efficacy of the propaganda of those that manage our perceptions is great because you are an individual.
No, you're too important, liberal. I'm going to give you the floor for 5 minutes, and I apologize to you. And I show the disgraceful Western man that needs to be given over to salvation and completion by you and the green flag of Allah. Allah, Allah. So I swear, I'm going to let you take over on the other side. Just don't hang up, liberal. I apologize. I'm going to stop right now. Man, it feels good to go crazy.
This is not a person who's okay.
That's one of the most stunningly racist things I think I've heard ever.
Yeah. And
that one's big.
Yeah. And it's not too uncommon for Alex. You know, it's certainly sure. Like within his repertoire.
Sure.
But I think what happened is he heard liberal's voice, remembered, oh, shit, this guy took me to the woodshed a couple days ago.
Oh, yeah.
So he has to start turning this into a ridiculous skit. He has to scream over him because he knows he can't let him talk. Then Alex assumes that liberal is a Muslim because he's criticizing Alex's horrific anti-Islam rant from the beginning of the show. So he starts just yelling about how bad Muslims are. There's no reason, like, based on the things that liberal has said on the show to assume that he's Muslim. This is just a performance. Alex is doing this intentionally, not because he's so overcome by passion.
Yeah.
He's sure able to rein it in when it's time to get to the breaks. It's not so crazy that he starts swearing on air. Like, this is just a disgusting piece of shit person putting on an act.
Yeah, he might as well have put his hands over his ears and went, la, 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 because that's all it was.
Not much different.
That's it.
So when he comes back, Alex comes back from that break, and he does allow liberal to talk. The caller, he lays out his point, which I think it could be summed up as saying that there's a reason that there's a tension between Muslims and Christians, and that reason is propaganda. And Alex has a responsibility to his audience to do a better job covering the topic. Alex admits that there are good Muslims, but there's also political Islam that's evil. And so he decides that what he's going to do is he's going to get up from the desk and go to a big map, and he's going to show the spread of Islam on the map. And that's where this...
Are we going to get the Warner Brothers song?
No.
Is this Yakko?
No. But this clip is an intense, insane freak out that Alex has that really startled me.
In fact, can I have a wireless mic, please? I'm going to walk over here if I can in a minute. I want to show people... And then we'll show a map of the whole world, now that we've seen this map, but like a whole map of the planet laid out about where we were 1,400 years ago. Thanks. I guess nobody heard me about getting bring me a mic. Well, the boom operator will bring me a mic, so I appreciate that, sir. You are
He's
awesome.
Still on Wikipedia, though.
You know what? I'll just do this next guy. They don't even hear me. We don't need that anymore. Anyways, I'll do it over here. We'll do it next segment. Maybe next year. Who knows? Anyways. In fact, I'm going off the air.
Alex?
Whatever your opinion on Trump ordering the killing of Soleimani, I think we can all agree that the most cringe thing to come out of it was the avalanche of normie tier World War III memes.
I would argue the most cringy thing is what Alex just did.
That. He just stomped off.
He did.
He just stomped off his show.
Yeah, and I couldn't see from the camera angle, but I think he threw a mic, too.
Yeah.
Like, I think he was just like, fuck this. He is such a fucking rage-filled asshole. This is so unacceptable, man. Like, if I were working in that studio, that would be the day I quit. No one should be subjected to a boss acting that childishly and frighteningly in a workspace.
Yeah, it would be terrible if you...
when Alex...
Between the months of November and March of... Never mind.
When Alex gets back, he tries to claim that liberal's point was that Alex is pretending that Islam is expansionist, but it's really Christianity that's expanding, which wasn't what liberal was saying at all. I suspect that this is one part Alex just trying to save face about that blow-up we just listened to, and another part of him having no ability to synthesize information that people are giving to him.
Man.
Either way, that's some scary shit. Like, that behavior is... he's on the job.
Yeah.
I don't know who this new... Like, this boom operator is who doesn't have a name, and Alex doesn't seem to know who his name is, but he brings him up multiple times.
Strangely enough, Boomer Esiason.
That dude should not have to deal with this.
That is...
Unionize, buddy.
You know, oh, I would love to unionize, but philosophically, I'm against unions, and I'm starting to see why people are for them. Yeah. But
boom operators, 435 local, no get kidding. In it.
You know, I do feel so fucking broken down by the show. Any other show, if the host walked off, holy shit, like this is Maddow? The biggest. Yeah, if Maddow just walked off in a huff, just all pissed off, we'd be like, holy shit, this is big news. Alex ending a show like, yeah, whatever. He's keep a fucking
in,
lunatic.
Keep in mind, he's barging off set, ostensibly because no one gave him a handy walk-around mic.
Sure.
So there's tech issues, and his staff is fucking up, so he gets so furious. Yeah. But it's also in the middle of trying to explain how Islam's taking over the
yes.
world.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
if
yeah.
Maddow did that,
right,
you'd never stop talking about it. She would be canceled, not canceled like in the social media sense.
Sure, sure. She would canceled. Be canceled. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I it is funny that he exemplifies why white American men shouldn't be allowed to do something while at the same time telling people why the Islamic nation shouldn't be allowed to do something.
I think he also exemplifies why like standards in media are yeah. important, like, and why it's good to have a boss.
Yeah,
because someone should be chastising him for this.
Absolutely.
There should be consequences for this kind of behavior because it's not okay.
Well, I think his dad will take care of it.
I don't think so.
Oh, you,
it's a
you
yeasty
sure?
environment, according to him.
He's going to get a spanking. Come on.
No, I don't think so. And what's interesting to me is like Alex comes back. Like he doesn't leave the show. Someone should have been like, you're off air. You're done. You're done for today.
Yeah.
Red card.
Yeah.
You know, you
yeah,
we
take
have
the day off. We'll play some
Rob
Schroyer, the
in,
yeah, yeah,
special
yeah.
reports, whatever.
You cannot be on the air
yeah.
until you calm down.
You have shown yourself between these two gigantic Islamophobic rants and this blow up where you just storm off set.
Yeah.
Like you are not in a place. Whatever's going on.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. Maybe you're mad about this Wikipedia iodine shit.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe you took too many of your supplements. No one knows. No one cares. For your own sake, you can't be on air. No one does that because no one can.
Yeah, he's.
So Alex gets back on air. And one thing that I think is really fascinating is he takes some calls and no one is like, are you okay? Like, no one treats what just happened on the show as if it's something to be concerned about.
Yeah, I think they know what I know, which is that, oh, this dude's fucking crazy. That's the appeal.
Yeah. So Alex, before he gets back to calls, starts trying to rationalize, you know, like, hey, man, I'm just mad about Islam expanding.
I really gotta emphasize that this is all just because he saw two Muslim families in a hamburger store.
Well, and he gets back to that, so everything comes full circle.
Everything comes good, good, good.
And much of Islam is basically a male thug grooming gang, and I'm offended by it. I'm offended by it. A lot of the times I go to a restaurant, my daughters are like, what is this? There's women with full hoods on eating food under it. And the men are looking
They're
at
nuns.
Us weird, man. And it's I don't like it. I'll be point blank with you. Yeah, I believe Western civilization is superior. I don't like putting hoods over women's heads and burning them or drowning them in the swimming pool or stoning them to death. You know, if my wife and daughters didn't do what I said,
says Western civilization,
crazy feminism with Jezebel spirit and the women all and then trying to dominate men. No, women aren't happy doing that either. And you know how you don't deal with that? You act like a man and tell them you're not putting up with that crap. But it doesn't mean you put hoods over their heads.
Weird line to draw.
But see, the left loves that. Yeah, I mean, I had to watch this in Austin restaurants. Literally this. I mean, it's give me a break, okay?
It's not literally that. It's people eating hamburgers, you dumb asshole. Like, he's responding as if he just saw a stoning at Dan's Hamburgers. He didn't see anything. He saw people having hamburgers.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is so important because he can pretend all he wants that he just has a problem with these critiques that he has of Islam, but he doesn't. He sees every single person that he identifies as a Muslim as indicative of the worst thing of Islam. It's all universal. It is I don't know. I don't know what to say. It's awful. He's an awful, awful person.
Yeah, and even then, his big like oh, they dominate their women and they make them wear hoods. His criticism is a sense of scale, not philosophy. Nope. Well, of course you need to dominate women, naturally, and you need to make sure that you control their behaviors. But you don't put a hood on them.
Right.
That's my biggest issue with Islam.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I should tell you, Alex has Steve Pachanik on again. And it's boring. It's very boring.
Okay.
We're not going to listen to any of it.
Good.
It's just Steve saying that it was a surgical strike to take out Soleimani.
Yeah.
And everything is going great. Everything is fine.
Sure.
It's very bland and dry.
Right.
But the thing that I think is notable is that at no point, I mean, they even talk about him being on a couple days ago, and at no point do they talk about how he denied the Holocaust.
Remember that?
Didn't come up.
Steve, I understand your feelings on Iran. Quick question. You want to talk about you denied the Holocaust.
Alex doesn't care.
No.
Or doesn't even realize that was some of the content that Steve brought to the show. I'm flabbergasted. I have no idea.
Well, I mean, he did just storm off of his show with no consequences, so...
That's true.
Yeah.
So we have one last clip, and it's Alex, you know, talking about how he's had some blow-ups on the show. And,
yeah.
He would describe it as...
O'Reilly still did the show, man!
Alex describes it as, yeah, I was having fun.
You know, I felt like going crazy at the start of the last hour. And if you watched that, you said, okay, is that an actor or is that somebody really blowing up on air? No, that's a real something I feel like. That was real. I was in control of myself and I let myself do it. So
that's insane behavior.
Everything I say here, I believe.
That's insane.
But I do let the dog off the leash occasionally and have a little bit of fun because it felt good to run around and get angry. Yesterday, I like to act stupid and act like a hummingbird in front of my kids and flap my hands and jump around the house. And I did it on the Owen show just to sometimes not take myself so serious. You know, we cover really serious subjects, but callers call in thanking me. Oh, you're great. You're great. No, you're great. I want freedom. So do you. Yeah, we're the majority. Let's come together. Let's do it. And then let's not be these people on TV that take themselves so seriously that they don't have some fun sometimes.
What are you talking about? You stormed off your fucking show because your staff didn't give you the mic that you wanted. You don't take yourself so seriously.
Unfucking real.
Yeah.
That is the behavior he thinks you can wave away.
Such a horrible rationalization for his petulant outbursts. Yeah. And like, oh, I just let myself off the chain, just having a little bit of fun. That's what you describe.
Okay, well, then,
aggressively Islamophobic rants. That's how you describe just having some fun. If that's how you have fun, I mean, you know what that says about you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the place that I worked, the owner of the company was also the boss, and he was a giant piece of shit the same way. But even then, that's like, at least you know when to be ashamed of yourself, you know?
Well,
like,
Alex
you can be a petulant child and you can be a fucking shitty person. You own your own business, so you get to avoid consequences for your actions, but at least be ashamed of it.
Alex is kind of expressing like a little bit of shame, but he's trying to co-opt and adjust how he responds to it. And he's trying to rationalize, like, yeah, I mean, that would help. That would help. So I wanted to do this episode because I wanted to check in on this evolving situation and Alex's response to it. And you see that the response is really just aggressive Islamophobia. Like, now this has transitioned and the show is just Alex freaking out and screaming about how bad Islam is. And I don't know entirely if that alone would have been worth an episode. But Alex having Zach on the live stream, I think certainly, makes it,
and every
more
time
interesting.
Every time he drops your hamburger place, you want to really make sure everybody knows about it.
Well, I mean that definitely
I say go support Dan's hamburgers.
These are the things too, that like really are important to understand. Like when Alex screams about Islam, and like grooming gangs in the UK and stuff like that, you can deconstruct that and you can talk about like why he's wrong about these things. And that's important. But I think more important is understanding that him seeing Muslims in public in places that are indicative of integration, like you said, being at the mall, being at a pool supply shop, enjoying a nice hamburger meal, Those are the sorts of things that drive him crazy and lead to this sort of an outburst. It's the proof of integration. It's the proof of coexistence that infuriate him, because maybe those are indications that we can get along, that everybody can just be fine with each other. And he can't handle that because he wants a holy war.
Yeah. Yep.
So,
look, the Book of Revelations is never going to happen, Dan, if we all just like each other all the time. That's how are we going to get the post-trib rapture if everybody's just fine?
Yep. It's tough.
Everybody's eating hamburgers, holding hands left and right, Dan.
Makes me want to storm off set.
I was so angry at that boom mic.
Yep. So I guess I would sum this up by saying, Alex, go fuck yourself.
Alex, go fuck yourself, you giant racist.
Now, let's give some more shout-outs here before we wrap
this up. Absolutely. These are people I want to see in Dan's hamburgers.
So first, Andrew, thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Andrew.
Next, Eddie Shoeman Foo. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Eddie Shoeman Foo.
Thank you so much. Next, Ariana. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Ariana.
Next, Chris.
My niece's name.
Oh, nice. Yeah. The Conspiracy of Chris's. Adds a member.
Continues.
Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Chris.
Next, Stephen. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Stephen.
Thank you, Stephen. Next, Carissa. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Carissa.
Thank you so much, Carissa. Next, Trey. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Trey.
You ever watch The O.C.?
No, I have never watched The O.C.
Laguna Beach.
I've definitely never watched Laguna Beach.
First season, there was a guy named Trey who made hats.
Oh, yeah?
But he was making them for social causes, so he was pretty cool. Trey was like,
I'm gonna take points away from
you. He had a social conscience.
I think we have to give back Trey's donation.
So he made
now.
Hats.
I'm sorry, Trey.
He also had a guy.
I know you supported the show, but I'm gonna have to give you your donation back.
He also had a friend named Polster, who was
a friend named what?
Polster.
Polster.
Yep.
Worked for Rasmussen.
There was a bit of a joke, running joke throughout it, that every time Polster was on, like his name would come up on the screen, he would be a different enthusiast.
Okay,
he was an excitable guy.
Okay, all right.
So Polster was he was a hat enthusiast because he was helping Trey.
He was helping
run his
hat
charity hat business.
Gotcha.
So anyway, thank you, Trey.
Okay.
Next, Katie, thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Katie.
Thank you. Next, Dylan. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Dylan.
Thank you so much. Next, Scott with one T. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Scott with one T.
Thank you so much. Next, Lenore. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Lenore.
And Colleen, thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, Colleen.
And finally, I'd like to say thank you to someone who donated an elevated level. Thank you so much, Angela. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
Crikey, mate, that's fantastic. Have yourself a brew.
How's your 401k doing, bro?
All right, we got to go full tilt boogie on this, Watson, all right? Let's just get down to business. We ain't making that money off that heroin. Why you pimp so good? My neck is freakishly large. I declare info war on you.
Thank you so much, Colleen.
Yes, thank you very much, Colleen.
We've got a long way to go to get back to current, but I think if we did much more than that number of names, this would get exhausting.
There's a delicate balance between exhausting everybody who didn't donate to celebrate the people who did, and not celebrating the people who donated.
It's a tough balance, and I appreciate everyone's patience. We will get to everybody.
We do love both of you, the people who donate and
absolutely.
Not.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Totally.
We just only thank the people who donate.
So let's give a blanket thank you to everyone who doesn't donate. We appreciate you listening to the show.
We do have to have a little bit of a carrot and a stick situation. No, I'm just... Mm.
So anyway, we'll be back. But until then, we have a website. It's knowledgefight.com.
We do. And we are also on Twitter, Dan.
We're also on Twitter.
It's at knowledge_fight and at go to Ben Jordan.
Don't try and trick me into saying your lines. We're also on Facebook.
We are on Facebook. And if you'd like to download the show, you can go to iTunes. You could leave a review, donate, do the whole thing, get your thank you, whatever.
Yep.
We love you.
And we'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. Stonehenge makes me violent.
I did 30 minutes of deadlifts. No big deal. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.